So exciting, Leroy. I just saw that Pella Larson's in the gym with the Heat. Very exciting. Very exciting, Pella Larson, back in the gym. Down at 601 Biscayne Boulevard. I'll tell you what, man. Don't overlook Sweden at your own peril. Coming up in the World Cup qualifiers.
Dude, you have to be the single-handed
what?
Only person.
No, I'm telling you, dude. I can't wait.
Really?
I can't wait. I was just chatting about it with our boy Brady Hawk just now. We were talking about Pella Larson. It's very exciting. Very exciting.
So he's out of Euro basketball right now. He's done.
No. Euro basket has the window starts up next week. So I think he's getting in a little home workout, and then he's flying out. I don't know if they have a camp. Like, for example, Serbia, they got some warm-up games. Like, they're going to be taking on, I think, France Thursday. I don't know if Wemby's playing, but that'd be kind of cool if we got Wembanyama versus Joker on Thursday.
And we care how much?
Well, I mean, I'm going to watch Jovic, dude. You know, I'm going to care about that.
Yeah, he need to. Have you given him any tough love yet?
He's on thin ice. He knows it. He knows it. We all know it.
He knows it.
He knows it. He's, you know, we're going to be ice fishing. But, you know, I was looking at this. There was this montage just put out by, let me get the Twitter account, Birdie954 The Win. Great account. And it's a montage of just Pella and ones. So, like, if you guys just wanted to watch, you know, Brittany, if I could sell you on something that's not F1 for a second, could I interest you in
what?
3-minute montage of Pella Larson and ones?
3 minutes is pretty steep.
Two?
Minute and a half.
Not even.
How about you, Jennifer? Would you watch 3 minutes of Pella Larson and ones?
I will say 3 minutes is pretty long. So like a minute.
I mean, it is long, but spam, it's Pella, you know.
But this is
where is it in the NBA or is it in Eurobasket? Yeah.
No. It's all of his and ones from last year. It's a 3-minute montage.
And you watch this?
Does he even do the Euro step?
He has sometimes. He has the Euro step sometimes, but we, you know, what brought this up, why I started chatting it up with Brady, is Brady said on social media, and he said, Pella doesn't flop. He just bulldozes defenders downhill, puts a shoulder in you at the dotted line or below to force contact. Reminds me of Jimmy Butler, which reminded me of when it was his rookie year before Jimmy Butler, you know, decided to do one-legged threes, and Jimmy Butler had actually said about Pella Larson that he reminds me of me. And I was like, wow. So he's kind of like Swedish Jimmy Butler.
Oh, now he's Swedish Jimmy Butler, not Swedish Dwayne Wade.
He was kind of like Swedish Jimmy Butler, if you think about it, Brittany. He kind of is.
Dude, why do you do this?
Why do I do what?
You, like, because here's what happens. He puts all of this expectations on a player. Like either nicknaming them or telling them they're this or that. And then when they come out and just play their game and it doesn't match your enthusiasm or your energy, then you get mad.
All I'm hearing is you're calling him a mush.
Well, I'm not calling him a mush. I'm not saying all those hopes and dreams that he's putting on Pella's going to suck. That would be a mush. Right?
But it feels like what you're saying about Nico.
No, I'm not saying it at all. I think Nico better play. They need him. They need him more now than the last 2 years he's been here.
But people are sleeping on Pella Larson. Like, we can all agree. Like, we're sitting here and
he's coming off the bench.
Well, he will come off the bench based on fit, but he's still going to be a big part of this team. He'll close. Yeah. He'll close some
games. He's going to be what Tyler Hero refused to be, but not as good a scorer as Tyler.
I would say that when Pella Larson was at his best last year, the Olay twins came and ruined it. Like, Pella Larson.
When they got healthy?
Yeah, Pella Larson and Bam Adebayo were finding something together. They were finding something together, and then it got ruined by the Olay twins. And now that the Olay twins are gone, no chance to ruin it for Pella.
You think Pella could play point guard?
He can play make. He can play make, but I think that they're going to have Davion out there playing.
So the reason why I say that is that those two be interchangeable and you start Pella and bring Davion off the bench?
You could. I think they're going to go the other way, but I think that's a possibility. And right. It's certainly when you get to closing.
Because they do play very similar games, and I think Pella might be a better shooter, even though I will say this. No disrespect to off-night, but he shot the ball from three better than Pella Lawson last year.
Percentage-wise, yes, but he doesn't shoot.
Yeah, because he didn't take that many shots.
He doesn't shoot that
many. So that's what I'm saying. So,
man.
I don't know. Like, Damian, if you like the size, then I don't think between the two of them, do you think you lose anything by switching it up and bringing one guy off the bench or the other?
No, I don't. I think that
right.
I think the only thing you'd probably have is maybe Pella's a little bit bigger from size right. standpoint of who he's going to guard. Maybe he could probably go 2-3 a little bit
which
more.
Which might be better to bring Pella off the bench because at least you have some size somewhere because
right.
once you get to that second unit, it gets a little
him,
snug.
Bobby Portis. We got to see what Jovic is going to bring to the table.
Bobby Portis is – so I would say why wouldn't you start Davion, Wiggins, Bam, and Giannis?
That's probably what they're going to do and probably start Hardaway unless they get Klay Thompson.
Start Hardaway?
Yeah, they're going to start
Instead
Hardaway.
Instead of Wiggins?
No. It's going to go Davion, Hardaway at the two, Wiggins, Bam, Giannis. Or
you could go Bobby Portis, move Wiggins to the two.
I suppose you could. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that lineup. I would be surprised if it starts, but I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that lineup at times.
Right. But I don't think this team is deep enough to be trying to space people out.
Well, they got to.
I know.
You gotta.
I think there'd be certain times where. Listen, if they're not scoring well, then I'm putting Bobby Portis in to say, let's just lock them down.
Give you a weather update that's brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Protect your home before the next storm. Get your free roof and window estimate. Call 954-968-8155. Currently, 95 degrees down here in Miami.
It literally says it's 95 because my car says 102, and then I'll – here on the radio and say it's currently 89 degrees. I'm like, where?
Yeah, that's what I got right now.
Because your car is absorbing heat. It's made of metal and it's a dark color. So it's doing the surface temperature of your car.
Thank you.
What was that?
Thank you, Jim Cantore.
It was an explanation for something that he said.
It was kind of condescending. I mean, you made Leroy feel like he was a little boy, you know?
Is that not common sense?
Kind of like how you explain how monsters aren't really under his bed. That's kind of how you explain
that. Is that not common sense?
Feels like it's 99.
Right.
Humidity. Toasty. Just toasty.
I mean, there's probably not that much humidity. I don't see any clouds.
There's not much humidity. Not like when it's in the, it's only like 50% right now.
Not like being in Vegas and go, it's 115 degrees, feels like 114, humidity 5%.
Yeesh. The Marlins, they're back at it tonight against those cheating Phillies. 6:40 is your first pitch. We'll have that for you here on QAM. Marlins need to get one in this one. Definitely can't afford a sweep. 1-3 is okay, but you can't get swept by the Phils. So they got screwed last night. Hopefully they can get this one.
Man, they've been really good at staying in games too. Man, it's just been impressive.
Very impressive.
Like, we've watched these guys play all year. And I think the most frustrating part when they lost 12 was we always had the feeling that they were going to do something to come back from in some of these games, and it never really happened. And that wasn't what we were used to.
The commissioner, Roger Goodell, he told reporter Marcus, I don't know. He said, at some point, there will be NFL teams outside the USA. I have no doubt that will happen one day. Great.
Yep. Jacksonville will be in London.
I think maybe Miami. I think they just I think you're going to probably expand, because I think Jacksonville just is like, doesn't Jacksonville have to play in Orlando this year for their new stadium?
Yeah, they're building a whole new stadium.
I don't think they're going anywhere, surprisingly.
Well, remember they said, well, that was probably a tease to get them to build that stadium.
Probably. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's like when the Marlins were going to go to San Antonio. Yeah. They wore cowboy hats. We're leaving.
He
also says that there's potential that they could host a Super Bowl. There are definitely international cities that could host something like that. But we like to see an NFL team in such a city first. I don't want a London Super Bowl, dude.
No.
Sorry. Like, xenophobia aside, like, that's our day.
That's have we ever had, didn't we have the Champions League final over here?
Like the real one? I don't think so. I think we've hosted Champions League teams like as a tour.
Okay.
I don't think we've gotten to host the real shebang.
So that would be the equivalent to us, not to them. It would be a much bigger deal for them to swap, right?
I think so.
But that's the equivalent to us of what it would be like if we had a Champions League final. I think the interest of the Champions League final would be far greater in the U.S. than the Super Bowl would be in Europe.
I think so too. I think it's definitely catching on over there, but I don't know if it's like
Not like that. Plus, I don't think we're in a position at this point to be shipping a whole lot of Americans in one place.
True.
Like, let's just calm down.
Calm down, Roger.
Yeah.
Take a break here on the show. You guys are real bastards on the chat. I got to be honest with you. It's something. We'll continue on the other side. We're back after this. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Miami Hurricanes. Yesterday, the rankings. You know, what do you think, Brittany? Again, seventh. Were you upset about this?
I do think it's disrespectful. I'm sorry. We retained a lot of talent. We got better at certain positions, quarterback specifically. No, seriously, we got all of our running backs back. We have probably the second best receiver in college football. I don't understand how we're ranked seven when we lost in the national championship.
I'm very confused by everybody pumping the tires on Notre Dame. Like, why that always happens.
I don't know. It always happens this way, and it's the same thing that happened a couple of years ago in 2017, same thing that happened last year.
I would say there's a couple of things that bother me about this. One, if an SEC team had won the national championship, they would be number one.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
So that bothers me. And if another SEC team would have played in the championship game, they would have been second. So let's start.
Couldn't agree more.
Does the SEC ever get tired of playing?
For the last 3 years, they have said Ohio State has had the best talent. It doesn't mean you're going to win. So if they're 1-2, I understand that, right? Only with Miami, and I'll say with Indiana, are we breaking down the whole damn roster to see what they lost and what they gained? We never did that with Alabama.
Nope.
We never did that with Georgia. We don't do that with Ohio State. And so from that standpoint, it doesn't matter, because guess what? Notre Dame's going to be in the top five, 1 or 2, until they stop playing the armed forces. And then when they play against real teams, they're going to get pounded. That's what happens every year with Notre Dame. Just live with it. Okay? And then it's going to get to the point where we're going to have 27 teams so we can include Notre Dame in the playoffs. It's coming. Don't worry.
Well, they have their stupid clause too.
But I think, first of all, and I'm bothered for a different reason. I'm bothered for this reason. Besides, Notre Dame's always in the top five, and they ain't never did nothing except, you know, 2 years ago when they got dumb trucked. But here's the deal. One of the reasons why all of the SEC schools stay in the top 10, because when you rank all the teams in the conference, they always play a conference team. I mean, a ranked team.
Yeah, they play tickle sticks with each other. It's ridiculous.
Right. And so then we look at Miami, who plays in the ACC, and half of those teams aren't as good. I give them that. But you can't rank all of the SEC teams and then have them compete against each other, and then one gets credit for beating a ranked team and the other one gets credit for only losing to a ranked team when you're playing in your conference.
Ohio State's number one, correct?
Yes. Correct.
I mean, I hate it, but they've been, Ohio State has had the best talent for like the last 3 or 4 years.
I understand. They haven't won. I understand, but they won obviously a couple years ago, right. But right. They have a top five recruiting class, right? Miami has a top 10 recruiting class this year. They retained their quarterback, Julian Sain. They retained Jeremiah Smith, but they lost a lot on defense. As we know that most of them went in the first round of the NFL draft. So my question to you is like, you haven't the talent evaluation, you haven't done it yet because they've lost so many players that we beat, by the way, we beat them. And we didn't just beat them, we kicked their butts. And you're going to rank them number one? Just because what the recruiting class is the top five?
If you go to all of the schools that are above Miami, right? And keep in mind, most people think that the quarterback they have now is going to be better than Beck was.
Fair. I think that's a fair assessment.
So if you look at all of the quarterbacks that are above Miami, they all have returning quarterbacks who are have some acclaim in some kind of way. I don't know if that's the way they're looking at this, right? But I can understand that you got a couple of Heisman finalists. You have, they're going to put Arch up there just because.
Oregon's always going to be up there. A ton of
Oregon's
talent.
Always going to be
Moore's
up back. There.
Everybody thought Moore was probably going to be the second guy taken this year.
So I get, and keep in mind, we're sitting here looking after the fact and trying to figure out why. Without knowing what the thought process is. And if we go that route, like you were saying, with talent. Me, I don't even look at the talent. You have no idea how 18 to 20-year-old is going to play.
But that's my point, is that there's no consistency. Rather, there's no way of like, I can't understand what they're evaluating. Because if you're evaluating based on talent, or you're evaluating based on the players that have been retained, then the Miami Hurricanes deserve to be in the top five.
Except they lost 2 first-rounders on defense. So the questions you have on defense...
But so did Ohio State. They actually lost 3.
But what I'm... Okay, but all the teams above you... And keep in mind, this is a ridiculous argument because in 3 weeks, like, somebody's going to do something stupid and we're going to say, see?
Yeah, the first week is going to do that to it.
Right, but here's the deal. The only difference... In all of those teams that are above Miami, the only difference, they all have returning quarterbacks. That's it.
I think also it's one of those things
they're getting judged by what's on their helmet. Let's be honest.
100%. Well, I think that's it. Like, Ohio State's been kind of reloading now for years, obviously, and I think the Canes are. This is the real first step on.
Correct.
Are you reloading? Mm-hmm. Are you guys at that spot? They very clearly have been at quarterback. They've been able to do that with Cam Ward. They were able to do it with Beck. They were able to do it with Mensah. But now people want to see, okay, can you sustain losing Bain and Mesidor? Can you sustain losing all of your offensive line? I think we all have the faith in the offensive line because that's their bag. They got national players of the year that are coming in there. Mm-hmm. The receivers have gotten better. They were able to get Barkate in here. Moore should probably be taking a step next year. All the running backs are back. But everybody does. There is still a bit of a proving ground for the Canes. And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. Because even last year, it was more like, we're not sure. Are they all the way back? They made a big statement against Notre Dame, obviously, early. But will they be able to do it again? Because they are kind of a sneaky darling of everybody. Everybody's... A lot of people do look at the Canes and say, hey, if I had to pick amongst people outside the top five, a lot of people are picking Miami.
Right. Right. Yeah. I would like in like just like you're going to be I hate watching football during the course of the year and having the argument all year where my team is ranked, right? It's kind of a loser argument. And the reason why is because if you take care of business, you'll be where you need to be at the end of the year. To complain about where you're ranked before the season, and if you go out and lay an egg, it's a moot point. It sounds crazy.
Well, the thing that's going to be interesting is if they have a situation where, let's say Notre Dame does spit the bit and they're not good, there's not really that signature game for the Canes this year. So they're probably going to have to really just crush teams. I mean, maybe we'll see if Clemson comes out. They beat LSU to start off.
What if the Canes, even though if the Canes' strength of schedule may be bad, what if they win the SEC, the ACC?
Yeah, they win the ACC.
It's an automatic bid.
They're going to be fine. Right. I'm just saying. Right. I'm saying people are going to. Notre Dame is kind of the crown jewel on that schedule of beating them, going to South Bend and beating them. I think the Canes going to Clemson would still be impressive. I want to, I want to make Dabo so sad. I want to make him so sad.
Right.
I'm not counting chickens. I'm just saying, like, if you look at the Canes schedule, that's really the one on there where you're like, that's going to be, once again, your kind of hold up onto, all right, this was our best win of the year, most likely.
But I think the point is like, we have to have these arguments, and rankings do matter, and it proved itself week one. Like, the national championship game was almost contingent on what happened in that Notre Dame-Miami. The entire playoff was contingent on that singular game.
Right.
So rankings do matter early on.
I mean, but why?
Because you'd think that if we wouldn't have beat Notre Dame in week one,
you wouldn't
have
deserved to be there.
But that's...
That's my point. You took care of business against Notre Dame, so you have an argument. At the end of the year, regardless of what everybody says, you have an argument because you beat the other team.
But ranked,
so regardless of where you were ranked, like, if you take care of your business, you're going to get an opportunity to play for the national championship.
And that was the thing that always kind of held them up, even with their struggles last year. This is going to be one of those years where they don't get that until the middle of the year. So, like, they have to be firing them.
They can't have those stupid slip-ups.
Not really. Like, it's right. One of these years where they really have to be hitting their stride in the middle of the season to get to those games, because people are going to be looking for that reason to keep people out, especially if they feel like they got one over last year. That I could see them holding over for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, yeah, those first four games, Wake Forest is okay. It's Wake Forest, Central Michigan at home. It's not until you get to that real, like, teeth of the ACC of, like, at Clemson, you better handle what you do against FSU, because, I mean, they just look like they all hate their coach and hate their life, which is a delight.
Right.
What's their next marketing scheme? I feel like we haven't heard from FSU and any of their genius marketing ideas lately. No backpacks? No Martin Luther King with the glove on? I haven't heard much from FSU.
Honestly, I haven't heard much from them either, which I guess is... a good thing, right?
Very strange. Usually they got some banging idea that's coming out here. No embarrassing FSU AI slop that they've tried to roll out. I find that surprising.
They would do some AI slop.
They would. Oh, they would, yeah. Totally, that's their move. That's their move. We'll take a break. Final segment coming on up. We are back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Hockman Crowded Solana coming up after us today. Saw Hockman. I sent him a video of Matas Buzelis doing the bench press. He was very excited. He loves that Buzelis. I don't understand it.
If he was on our team, we would love him too.
He's not, though.
I know.
No, stop.
But he's a fan of the Bulls. What do you want him to do? He's from Chicago.
I don't know.
He doesn't. You know what? He doesn't care if there's somebody else who feels the same way about a player that he does about a Heat player. He doesn't care. It's just all about what he thinks or what he likes.
I don't know how I'm getting these kind of criticisms. I'm the one who sent him the entertainment of it. He's just like, oh, you're on the train. I'm like, no, he doesn't play for the Heat. I don't care about Montez Buzelis. So I was just trying to do a good thing for you as a friend.
Right.
If he wants to sit,
why are you so like? Why are you all up in your field?
Because you guys both attacked me like a couple of pumas.
Yeah,
why am I?
You're the only one that gets overexcited about anything that happens.
Honestly.
You're watching Euro basketball, for God's sake.
What's the problem with that?
Who's your favorite Euro team?
Right now?
Sweden. He said that a million times.
Yeah, Sweden.
Now you're being attacked.
Then Serbia. Then Italy.
How is he being attacked?
Attacked.
No.
I've been accused all day of being aggressive for reasons I can't understand.
You take a couple of days off and what do you, save some stuff up? What are we doing?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm yeah.
So confused. What?
Like, yeah, it's like she's saving it up. Oh, I work on Tuesday. I'm saving up, bringing all my stuff from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
You're lashing out.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do?
I don't know.
Confused.
I just wanted to send him some Matas Buzelis, and you're like, oh, you don't understand why he likes Matas Buzelis?
I mean, it's...
I get why he does, but I don't know why he wants me to like Matas Buzelis. I don't want to root for Matas Buzelis. He plays for the Bulls.
That wasn't the question that you asked. It isn't.
This is welcome to my world.
The question that you asked was, why does he like Montez Buzelis? Someone just said, if you had a guy named Montez Buzelis on the Miami Heat, you would live for that. It would make you so happy.
No, no, that won't.
You'd be doing. You'd be doing, Mama. Gonna...
Tobin's on the Boozy Nation.
I'm not on the Boozy Nation. I'm not.
That way, and you know what's funny? That's what you would do to me.
I'm not, though. I don't love him.
Do you go, so you agree with me?
I don't agree with him.
So it's beautiful. Hawk is doing it, too. How does it feel? How does it feel to
it's beautiful.
Have a take you don't even want?
Beautiful.
I mean, it doesn't feel anything. I think it's stupid. Nobody likes Matas Buzelis except for him in Lithuania. And by the way, I would be a Buzelis guy if Jakaciūnas was still here, but Jakaciūnas isn't here because I was a Jakaciūnas guy. But now I don't root for Lithuania because Jakaciūnas isn't here.
I think we're having different arguments here, Tobin.
No, it's just that this is the most pointless thing right now.
It really is because
it is ridiculous
we're having
right now.
Different arguments.
How so?
Because we're not questioning why you don't like Montes Buzelis. I understand he plays for the Bulls. I get it. But the question here was, why does Hawk like Montes Buzelis so much? He is from Chicago. He's a fan of the Chicago Bulls. So therefore, he
I
is a fan of Montes
the
Buzelis.
And then, if he was a Heat player.
Yes, right. And we all said, if he was a Miami Heat player, you would love Montes Buzelis. That's all that we said.
Maybe I would, but he's not. Because I have Pelle Larsson. I'm a Pelle Larsson
guy. That's the point. This is the most pointless argument that we're having right now.
I don't know why you guys would bring up the obvious. It seems odd.
You're the one who was questioning
the obvious.
That's the point.
Very strange.
Like I said, this is ridiculous.
Well, I never know. See, I don't know if he really likes the Bulls or if this is like a bit. You know, you never know with Hawkman.
Yeah, well, you too! What are you talking about?
I don't do that with my sports loyalty, though.
Listen.
Hey, there is no questioning that Tobin loves the Miami Heat. And we can all agree on this, okay?
Well, he definitely doesn't love
them. It is not a bit.
No, he definitely doesn't love the Miami Heat because we've heard the garbage.
The other stuff is a bit.
The garbage he said about Goran Dragic will not stand. And so I know he's not a fan of the Miami Heat. And so, like, all right, good. You love the Chicago Bulls. Whatever. I mean, maybe it's time to grow up and stop watching The Last Dance. You love Matas Buzelis. But why would you ask me if I love Matas Buzelis? I don't like Matas Buzelis. One, I'm not Lithuanian. And second of all, I'm not a Bulls fan.
I think you just really like saying his name.
Matas Buzelis?
Yeah, you see it? Look at him.
You love saying JJ Redick. And who was the other couple?
And folks, therein lies the bit.
There is no bit.
Exactly.
There's not a bit.
There is. You wanted to say Matas Buzelis as many times as you could.
I don't.
Locke wanted to come in and say
it. I'm not even going to say it.
Little Boozy or whatever.
I don't know.
The whole bit. It's a never ending bit.
It's not a never ending bit.
Yes, it is. How many times have you said his name? For a guy you don't care about, how many times did you say his name?
Matas Buzelis? I have
again,
nothing against.
The word count on this show today.
No, I have nothing against Matas Buzelis.
What are you doing?
Can I just add one thing? And I don't want to get near Tobin because he sounds sick to me. It's Matas Buzelis. And all y'all, except for Tobin, keep saying Montas Buzelis.
And Jennifer, yeah.
It's
I have not said it.
Matas. M-A-T-A-S. Matas Buzelis. And Matas. And I'm not a diehard Bulls fan. I was when I grew up. But right now, I enjoy watching enjoy Matas Buzelis, Josh Giddey, and Caleb Wilson.
Larson's way better than those
I
guys.
Think that's probably a more effective big three than LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, ridiculous. If you really look at it on paper.
It's a ridiculous statement. So are you a Bulls fan or are you not a Bulls fan?
No difference is.
Yeah, I'm a Bulls fan, but I'm a Heat fan more than a Bulls fan.
You know what?
Are you?
I happen to feel the same way about Goran Dragic that Riley feels about him because he doesn't let him anywhere near the organization either.
He basically season tickets. Ridiculous. Dude, listen to him if you want to, coming on up.
I'm not gonna say it, but I'm suggested. There's one thing those three guys have in common.
Tangibles.
That is correct.
Well, except Caleb Wilson.
Yeah.
That is correct. When the Bulls have all intangible team like the Hoosiers, Den Hawk is
a
fan.
I'll tell you who's got intangibles out the wazoo. Maybe this is why the Buss family wanted to get out. I mean, the Lakers.
Oh, the Lakers are, oh my goodness.
I mean, do they have any
And they got to learn like 12 languages.
Bronny's sitting here being like, geez, man. What do we got going on over here?
Don't worry, Bronny, he's probably thinking, no, now I got a chance to play.
Maybe. Maybe that's what he's thinking. But they got Luka, Reeves, Walker Kessler, Mamu Kelishvili, all types of intangibles.
You would love that name, too.
Oh, yeah. I would. I think he's a good player. I like him.
Yeah, he is good.
He kicked the Heat's ass last year. He would give Kalel Ware the business every time they faced.
He really would.
Dave Soft said, snow time, Lakers.
It's a lot of intangibles for the Lakers.
Wow. Is that intangible record?
It's got to be intangible. For
almost the whole starting five.
Because they all make a lot of money. They gave a hundo to Reeves. They gave a hundo to Walker Kessler. You know Luka makes a ton of money. That's got to be the most intangible.
There's no chance Walker Kessler is a tangible.
No.
That nothing says I'm intangible like Walker Kessler.
He sounds like he should be playing at Stars and Strings.
You are so right in that. He really does sound like
he does.
Oh, that's good.
Or he should be in, what's the movie, Talladega Nights?
Oh, Walker and Texas Ranger?
Walker and Texas Ranger.
Shut up, old man.
I'm going to put something on you.
Tom Brokaw's a punk.
Oh, boy.
We'll be at you like a spider monkey.
What have we done?
I don't know.
This is all your fault.
Why?
It is.
You just mentioned him, and then all of this happened.
I didn't mention anything. What did I do?
You mentioned Hawk.
You're right. Let's get back to football.
What do you mean? They better block.
No, I knew it.
Some wide receivers don't like to block.
Yeah, I mean, our receivers are going to block. No block, no rock. How about that one?
The man in charge right there. No block, no rock, dude.
So that makes up
for him. It's funny. You know what this is? Tobin, you do this with everybody. New car smell.
Love a new car smell.
New car, like, he's all in. You do it with players. You do it with coaches. You do whatever. Give it about a month. And then you'll be, you know, doing your Tobin.
He already got mad at him.
Yes. Don't worry.
Because of his stupid...
His preseason thoughts.
Yeah, that's not... The one thing is, I'll give him a break, because that's not exclusive to him. They're all doing it.
They're all doing it.
Like, I understand.
You know, he's like, oh, like somebody asked him about dress rehearsal. He looked at the reporter like a loser. He goes, dress rehearsal? Oh, I like my joint practices. It's like, yeah, all right, dude.
Let's be different, though. Let's have a different mentality. So,
joint practices when there's no tackling and no running through tackles.
Right.
How can you separate your players? How can you know who can play or not if you're not playing football?
Exactly.
And so I would say that. To say, let's be clear, okay? And this is 100% accurate without any, you are not getting 40 reps in practice against another team. If you get 10 to 15, like full, because keep in mind, each period is only 10 or 15 plays. You're not running all of them. And the one-on-ones and the 7-on-7 don't count. So you got 11-on-11 drills, which, and maybe 9-on-7. So you might run 10 to 15 plays on 9-on-7 and 15 plays on 11-on-11. That's it. And you ain't running every play. So you're getting about 10 to 20 plays.
So it's already hamming up the numbers as it is.
Right. He's fluffing the bill.
I don't like it. I don't like
so,
it.
So, like, yeah.
I had so, so much.
Keep in mind, let's do this. Let's think of it this way. If you were to do that, so we have your offense has 15 to 20 plays, and then their offense has 15 to 20 plays. That's an hour and a half right there. An hour, you're thinking 30 seconds, 40 seconds in between each play.
Right.
That's 40 times 40. That's not count warm up, one on ones, 7-on-7. Then if you do 9-on-7, that's another 10 plays for us, 10 plays for them.
That's math, dog.
Right? How are you going to get 40 plays unless a guy plays every single play?
Right.
It's not possible. So he's fluffing the bill. He's fluffing it just to make it sound like, ooh, they practice so hard during the week. Yeah, that, listen, when I was in my prime, we run 10 to 15, 9-on-7, 10 to 15, 11-on-11s, right? I literally took 4 or 5 of those.
Be a duck, not a pelican, dude. Pelicans fluff the bill, Jennifer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, my co-hosts.
Hey, we got to go, huh?
I'm telling you about football stuff.
Me too.
Football stuff, and your contribution to it is Pelicans and Ducks.
You're welcome. That's our show today, everybody. We'll talk to you rascals tomorrow. I don't know if he cut his junk off for a national championship, but I'm telling you, something gets him revved up about trench play. Did I overblow Jovic a little bit too much? Perhaps.
Twisted testicle, the time has come. If they stay this way, you'll be no fun today. Okay.
Why just yum when you can yuck the yum?
I see y'all when I see y'all.